taking an oath of purity. And that was so good. The apostle just finished teaching. My goodness. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Got me drunk. You know, that's the thing that's why the church really can't walk in the power of God, because the government is all messed up. Just in many places there is no government. And so that's what the apostolic is supposed to do. It's supposed to establish government. But when people are not submitted, then the anointing won't, you know, the anointing won't force you to do anything. You know, one of the things that we were talking about in our last lesson, we were talking about, you know, we have a will and that sort of thing. And so because, it's because of a lot of ignorance that's been taught, and a lot of time people really think ministry is about entertainment. And so, you know, lives not being changed. You know, folk will fall out over a good message. You know, somebody have, they put together and, you know, they got all the points and then they got a little rhyme going on with it and this and that, man. If they fall out behind that, you know what I'm saying? But the lives not changed. And that's the thing that's more, that is important, that we be effective and not just be, and that's the heart of the apostle, to really, you know, get people to a point to where they're being effective. Amen. Being effective in ministry, because, you know, we can do a whole lot. We can be busy but not be effective. Right. And you know, we'll just have people going around in circles. But when we are effective, how many know it's gonna bring about change in people's lives? And that's what it's about. It's about producing change in the life of the people. So here, taking an oath of purity. Taking an oath of purity. An oath is a solemn promise in the name of God that a person will speak only the truth. Satan has vowed to cast you down. You too must vow to destroy him and free yourself. Example, Goliath vowed to destroy David, but David vowed to destroy him too. So, how many of you know that we have, whenever it comes down to, you know, really, you know, walking with God, we really need to have an oath of purity, you know, where we've just made it our mind that we're going, you know, we're going to live the way God wants us to live. Now, I told you the last time, as it relates to our will, we have to will. We can will to, you know, to believe, or we can will not to believe. We can will to follow God. We can will not to follow God. But I told you that our will, the way God designed us, is our will always go toward pleasure and away from pain. Right? So, you designed like this. I mean, it automatically happened. Your will, if pain is there, you're going to move away from that. You understand what I'm saying? But you're going to move toward pleasure. Now, if pleasure, you know, the Bible said that, talks about Moses, you know, he didn't enjoy the sin, the season of sin for, the pleasure of sin for a season. So sin is pleasure, but you understand what I'm saying? So now, my will will go toward that pleasure if the consequences have been minimized. And that's what the devil tried to do. He tried to minimize the consequences, you know, for our wrong behavior and that sort of thing. So he minimized it. He said, it's all right, you know, God has, you know, God is gracious and God is merciful and that kind of thing and stuff. But how many of you know we have a responsibility? We have a responsibility. And what I mean is that we have a responsibility toward God. One of the things that people, and I see this happening all the time, people really don't want to be accountable to God. You know, there's a such thing as accountability. I have to give account to God. You understand? So And one of the things that that people has taught that, you know, just go ahead and just, you know, make all the mistakes you made, you know, because God got you and that kind of thing and stuff. But you had to have some kind of responsibility. But let's just say, you know, you work on a job, and so you go to work when you get ready. You know, but they still pay you. You know, do you know how many days you'll go to work? No, you have to be responsible. So those folks, hey man, you get paid for doing a job. You know, you don't just get paid just because. So we have to take responsibility and understand and listen to me, Lord help me. In order for us to really walk in the anointing and walk in the power of God, we're going to really have to walk in purity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, we want to, you know, Jesus paid it all. He sure did. He sure paid it all. He paid it all. You understand? Remember I told you, because we were saying, you know, that, you know, you didn't have to, you know, go to God for forgiveness and stuff like that. You do. Because, you know, we say that God had, you know, had taken away all our sins and stuff. But it's just like that credit card, you know, you just use a debit card when you need it. So when I need forgiveness of sin, I just swipe the card. But in sincerity, see, that got to be, the purity has got to be the thing that really guides you. Because I'm telling you, this is why the power is there. This is why the power to, because Satan is out to destroy us. Satan is out to make us look like we're counterfeits. Are you with me? So we've got to have the anointing. And we've got to have this tenacity that the devil ain't taking me out. Amen. See, David had, Goliath was talking about taking David out, but the thing about it is, although he was a giant, David had experience with God. David knew that the experience that he had with God, he had an experience with a bear, he had experience with a lion, and it was God was the one that caused him to triumph. Are you with me? So David had this experience. So when it came down to Goliath, amen, David said, ain't going to be no problem. David is not going around pulling his hair out of his head saying, what I'm going to do. David got this boldness, because David knows, amen, that just like God did it before, God's going to do it again. Amen. And so because he walked in what he walked in, then he was able to see God do it over and over and over again. And so God is always out to show himself strong in our behalf. Always. He's always, he want to manifest himself. Because the enemy, if we're not careful, that's the thing that is causing us to be, many ministers to be ineffective, because they want to preach a good message, but they don't live nothing. And so what it's producing is a whole lot of people. See, whenever you begin to start ministering to people, how many of you know you're releasing something over the people? Right. And so if the spirit that's in you, if you are a manipulator, if you are someone who gets a get over, then when you begin to minister, guess what? You're going to have a bunch of manipulators that you're ministering to. And so the effect is the people are not going to be as effective in really doing ministry, because what's in you is going to get on the people. Hallelujah. So when we enter into an oath with God, God called it a covenant. One of the things that when it comes down to, I understand covenant. And God can't break his word. He cannot. Whenever a covenant was caught back in the Old Testament, now, one of the things that we can, a covenant is today that we can kind of, we could compare it to the mafia. The mafia, they cut covenant. That's why When you fool with, the Godfather, Sonny gonna get you. Because they bound by oath. My friend become your friend. My enemies become your enemies. And so anybody that messes with you, they got to mess with me. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the kind of covenant that we have with God. God said, anybody who's an enemy to you become an enemy to me. So now God is anybody who comes against you, then they really have to come against God. And so when you understand a covenant, when you understand an oath, then God, see, the only way a covenant can be broken is it's got to be by death. How many of you know God can't lie and he can't die? And so God is always going to stand behind who he is. So when we make a covenant or a vow of purity, how many of you know God will stand behind us? And the thing about it is, God give us the strength to be able to walk out because we can't do it on our own. But we can do it with God's help. And the thing about it, the enemy has to know that this is who I am. This is what I stand for. We can't be wishy-washy about our stand for God. We can't be wishy-washy. You understand what I'm saying? One day, you understand, we wishy-washy. The other day, we stand up for Christ. And what it's going to do is, it's going to make us look like some counterfeit that, amen, the enemy's going to have us looking like a counterfeit. And the thing about it is, when we minister, nobody's life's going to change. Nobody is going to be delivered. Let me tell you, one of the things that following the apostle and traveling, you know, to other countries, one thing that I'm really seeing is that there is such a hunger for God in other countries. I think sometimes in America we have everything so convenient, and we have so many things to distract us and to take our time away from God till we become relaxed. You know, okay, yeah, we get up for church. You know, we struggle to get up for church on Sunday morning sometimes. Sometimes, you know, when it comes down to training the word, we're struggling to get up. But man, I'm telling you, in these countries, you see folk, they walking for miles to get to the house of God. And man, the intensity, the excitement that they have. You understand what I'm saying? The hunger that they have for God. I say, my goodness, man. I told my congregation, I said, you know, we gotta do better. We gotta do better. You know, because we got Instagram, we have Facebook, we got all these things, and a lot of that stuff take our time, our prayer time. Yep. Hallelujah. It's distracting us. You know, everybody want to the old folk, you know, they were kind of skeptical about, you know, other people knowing their business. But now today, everybody want to spread their business all over the internet. You know, I think it's people a lot of times that want to, that don't feel, I don't know, don't feel real good about themselves. Don't have a low self-worth or something. I told you this. This right here will get low self-worth out of your life. And that is, you know what? Nobody is better than you, because the way that you tell the value of a thing is the price that's been paid for the thing. You understand what I'm saying? So the same price been paid for you, been paid for me, been paid for everybody who was born again. So guess what? We all have the same value. So how in the world can somebody look down on you, or how can you feel less than when you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus? Woo, and that makes you valuable. And because I'm valuable, guess what? Amen. No matter what nobody think about me, it's not going to change who I am. I just know who I am. Yes, you understand? You got to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, then the enemy will make you think that you're somebody that you're not. And then you'll begin to live a defeated life. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that even though we as the people of God, we have challenges, but I believe that we overcome every situation, every challenge, every life situation because of the blood of Jesus. I believe that we overcome. And a lot of times, you know, we were sitting, we started out in the airport in Baton Rouge, and it took us an hour to leave the counter. And they say, well, we haven't, first, they say, your reservation was canceled. Then they said, okay, your reservations are not canceled, but your wife's reservation are canceled. And then I said, well, and then they had me going one place, my wife going another place. And then, you know, it was just, so I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, don't lose your cool. Don't lose your cool. Satan is kicking up all kind of ruckus trying to make you lose your cool. He said, you're going, you're going to get on this plane. So after all the dust clear, they say, oh, okay, all right, we got it straightened, huh? I suppose I'd have been all frustrated. I said, go ahead and kick up all the dust you want to kick up. The blood got this. And so when you know, I may be going, you know, it may be a slight delay. But I'm gonna get to my destiny. I'm gonna accomplish what God told me that I'm gonna accomplish. You understand what I'm saying? God can't, and see, and all this comes from understanding a covenant, the covenant that you have with God. And so the same covenant that you have where you understand that God can't fail. It's impossible for God to fail. It's absolutely impossible for him to fail. So in the same way, the Bible talks about God keeping us. Now if God, the only way that God can keep us, we have to want to be kept. Yes, sir. So my will is involved. Yes, my will is involved. My will is involved. So I've got to make sure. I got a few more minutes. Y'all, let me hit a couple of these things here. Every covenant is ratified by the blood of Jesus. It's supreme because that is the blood of the everlasting covenant forever. That blood covers any covenant you make, and to maintain purity, sanctity, and holiness forever, you need a vow. What a vow does is to establish your steadfastness to your will. It puts it on your choice and ends all strife. You ain't got to be, you know, a whole lot of folk having so many of these fights with the devil. What are all these fights about? The apostle said tonight, if you look close enough, you'll see the defeated sign on it. He's been defeated. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And all this smoking stuff, and all this stuff, the Bible said that he rose around like a roaring lion. It didn't say he was. Amen. The Bible said Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So, amen. He trying to imitate the real lion. Glory to God to be beat. Jesus. So when you come under a covenant, oath for purity, your life will become a challenge even to yourself. Because the enemy gonna always be trying to turn you another way. But the thing about it is with a covenant or oath does, it keeps you focused, amen, going in one direction. Because you know that, amen, I've made this covenant with God. And I'm not going back on it. No matter what. No matter come hell, high water, sink or swim, I'm going with the Lord. Hallelujah. And the apostle, that's what he's trying to put in the students in this school. So when you leave this school, he said it tonight. I graduated in 1994 from the school of ministry. We was down the street down in Darrow. And all the people that came through this school, it is crazy. I see them all the time. I say, well, you know, why you never came back to the school and where the Lord never led me back there? I say, I wonder if the Lord led you to eat last night before you got ready to go to bed. We want to put everything on being led by the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? But you got in your car and drove to the job or you went to the store or something. The Spirit of God didn't lead you there. You understand? So sometimes people try to get all spiritual. But then you see them out there and they ain't doing nothing. They're not accomplishing nothing. And so the apostle does not want to see that happen to the students. Now I came along during a time when a lot of guys was following the apostle years ago and stuff. Like what he was saying, a lot of them was, what it was, well, it was just a whole lot of, it was abuse what it was. It was spiritual father abuse. Because you know what they'll do? They'll show up when they got ready. He got a week-long meeting. They'll come for 2 days and then go on vacation. And they don't be there and never say to the apostle, look, we going here, we going there. Just take off and leave. Nobody being accountable. How in the world somebody going to pour in you if you're not here to be poured into? So a whole lot of folk, they left the school, but they ain't doing nothing. And so he don't want that to happen to you. That doesn't want it to happen to you. Because I believe out of this, especially, I think the second year class is the first graduating class that has had the apostolic first and second year, right?
No, this class.
Huh? Did I say this class?
Yeah,
this class. Yeah, second year. Second year. Yeah. We say the same thing. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So that means that there's something special that's on you.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You know, I got a call and say that the pastor wouldn't be teaching. And I said, oh, man, my goodness. And then I got a call and say, he'll be teaching. And I said, man, my goodness. You know why? Now all the traveling and stuff and, you know, that he's been doing. And, you know, it's a wear and tear on him. But he wants y'all to have it so much. He know I ain't got but a couple of more shots. Amen. Lord, you got to give me strength because I got to pull some more in them. And so that's why, man, tonight, I mean, I got plumb drunk while he was up there. You understand what I'm saying? Because you have to always come with your container on empty. You don't come with it full. How you going to get something else in it if it's already full? And so a lot of times we already think we know. So because we think we know, so we just sat there, you know, But man, when you come with your container empty, man, there's so much that God wants to pour, especially out of a vessel that's got the experience that he has.
Yes, sir.
That's traveled the road that he traveled. See, I understand that I've been following for 17 years, but I understand that no way he got 40 years of ministry. I've been following for 17 years, and it's just supposed to happen overnight. It's supposed to be a steady pursuit, steady following, a consistent, continual following, and praise the Lord. I'm trying to stay on this thing here, but Pastor got me messed up, man. I'm telling you, man. I got four more minutes, man. Let me see if I can get some more of this. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:13 and 16 reads, when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end to all strife. So your struggle with sin will end when you enter into an oath of confirmation. Hebrews 6 verses 17 and 18 proves that God sanctions the strategies of oath. An oath brings a strong consolation and guarantees your destination so that you don't miss the hope set before you. Your will and your oath will put you over any demonic attack any day, any time. An oath brings steadfastness. It compels continuity. It keeps you on the move. God bound himself by an oath to Israel. That is why in spite of all the evil that they were doing, he couldn't punish them. He would always remember the oath he made with Abraham and would restrain himself. Boy, that's powerful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, Israel, with all that stuff they was doing, he remembered the oath and the covenant he made with Abraham. So God had to have show him mercy. Hallelujah. Remember when he went to with Sodom and Gomorrah? And God was about to destroy it. And God had to go talk to Abraham first. God had to go talk to a man first because he had cut a covenant. That's just how strong a covenant it is with God.
Yes, yes,
Hallelujah. God is not going to break his word. When God make a word with you, see, that's why it takes faith for us to walk with God. Because we got to believe that what God said, God meant it. So I could have mental assent. I could have the word in my head, but not have it in my heart, and not have faith, faith producing the results that the word of God said that I'm supposed to have. Guess what? I'll just have the word, and the word won't work. The Bible said that the letter kill it, but the spirit give life. So I've got to have the spirit of God, and I've got to have the faith of God in order to see the word of God come to pass. And so, and when you have that, sometimes right in the middle of a crisis, you still know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And you're going to come out of it, and you're going to be all right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are training up to be in the forefront of this great army that is emerging in its end time, so we can become members of the assault company. We were where we will humiliate the devil and punish him who has punished humanity to this time. The only way to enlist in that army is to come under the oath of purity. Hear this. Your will is a force to reckon with in the context of sin. An oath is a confirmation that the end of the struggles has come. The will is what is commonly called determination. A determination that determines destination. Wow. Glory to God. And that is my time. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you can finish reading that out, and next week we're gonna jump on chapter 9. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.